We're going to see if we can wrap up this whole thing about what it means to owe no man anything but to love one another. What we've talked about the last few days, if you're anything like me, it kind of is, you know, I can't do that. It's not possible for me to love everyone in terms of and to exist equally for everybody. And so the whole, there must be something else going on. And so let's look and see if we can discern what's going on. A couple of you have told me that, you know, that the teaching about love made them feel helpless. So, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3.
My thought is the first thing you got to do is just abandon all definitions of love that you've ever learned.
You know, it made me feel guilty.
Well, it should.
That's its purpose. Did it fulfill its purpose? Oh, okay. You got healed, huh? Hebrews 3.
Can you quickly summarize the last few days? Yeah,
well, the point of there are a million different distinctions that each of us make with regard to people. You know, if we're trying to get something from somebody, then we act differently. If we, you know, if somebody's a bother, then we act differently. If we're around our family, we act differently. And we're in a Bible study, we act differently. And the whole mystery of love is that you exist equally for everyone, without distinction, without being a respecter of persons, without discerning any difference. And that can only happen by seeing the divine spark, that Christ in each person. But it's especially true. We spend a lot of time talking about in a group setting about how you kind of live, especially if you have a boss or somebody, you're different. You respond differently to the boss because he's dangerous, or you respond differently to somebody that you think is in power because they're dangerous. And you may not think you do, but I promise you, you do. And so the whole idea is to exist equally for all. Love your neighbor. And the Jews had their definition of neighbor was of their own people. And then we've talked for years about the definition of neighbor is anybody in need. But then if you see the true meaning of love, then you see that we must exist equally for each person on the earth, on the face of the earth. We are a debtor. That's what Paul said. So, and it, we got very specific, and people, okay? Hebrews 3, verse, blah, 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 blah. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, that's just kind of a throwaway sentence, we are made partakers of. But it's a huge concept. And so let's just leave that there. Now let's go to 2 Peter. The operative word here is partakers. And now we go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And again, given unto us all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the knowledge, and the knowledge here is epignosis. It means that it's not just philosophy, it's not knowing something, it's being something. And again, we might be partakers of the divine nature. And that and partaker here means that we are of the same nature. That there's something going on that has inexorably changed us from being this self-seeking bastard to a partaker of the divine nature. Now, this is in essence the gospel. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend that. It's hard for us to hear it. It's hard for us to know it. And so let's see if we can understand it from the words of Christ. Go to John 15.
I mean a very
big John.
Simple example of that is when some kind of crisis occurs, a worldwide crisis, or the shuttle blows up, the president gets shot. There's a when you look at somebody else, there's the same thing going on with them that's going on with you.
Yeah.
For that brief time. And what this says is see through the things that happen in time and space and see that there's one thing going on with all of us.
Right. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Remember, exhort is this word. It's a technical word. It means to cause from one state of being to another state of being. To cause you to leave and move from time and space to eternity. Where the gift of God is eternal life. Life in eternity, now. Now, Jesus made this very clear in John 15. I am the true vine. It doesn't mean true like, it means I am the only vine. I am the real vine. I am the, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, if we could understand what that means, just that simple sentence is the gospel. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now this word here, abiding, is this great word, or meno. And it's and the only way we can abide is by emptying. Because in emptying, then that whole idea that he cannot occupy, you are the temple of the living God, but he cannot occupy where you are. His humility is so great that if you put yourself forth in any way, even negatively, then he takes a back seat. And so whatever his injunction is, whatever these words are about love, whatever it is about forgiveness, whatever it is about anything that seem contradictory and counterintuitive and everything to our own mind, the mystery is returning back to this emptying, the mind of Christ, the emptying. So the emptying of you so that he lives. Are you concerned about something? Are you confused about anything? Is anything existing that is troubling you? The answer is not to pray about it as we think prayer means. The answer is emptying. And that's what it means to abide. Now, the only way you can empty is if you found out the mystery of Ecclesiastes. That all of your thought processes, that all of your ideas, that all of your actions are fruitless and empty and vain. If you know that, then you can never again give any credence to what your mind or your emotions tell you. You empty. And that's the only way of living the Christian life. That makes you the partaker. That makes he is alive in you. Otherwise, your life is made up of, I promise you, unless you know this, you haven't forgiven yourself. If you haven't forgiven yourself, you can't forgive others. And so it just goes on and on and on and on. And the Holy Spirit is essentially your enemy. But he's not your enemy to death. He's your enemy to hoping and putting obstacles in your path so that you can't do what you want to do. Because the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit, and the spirit's trying to suppress down the flesh, so you can't do the things that you would. Until you come to the place of this total emptying. It's the most powerful place in the universe. Amen?
Amen.
So we are partakers of his heavenly nature when we're not there. The moment the I motive comes into it, then he takes the back seat. This is how you mortify the flesh. This is how you reckon yourself crucified. And that's the gospel. And this is, you know, I want to just print that sucker off.
I'll do it for you.
It's itching.
I'll take it off.
You're looking at my nose, aren't you, Ronnie?
I can barely see it. I don't have my glasses. I'm working on it. That's all I can see. This made me think of the Adamic Christian, where it's the total opposite. It's the
those two words are mutually exclusive.
Well, not in my mind. It's. Don't do it while we're here. No, it's when you take everything that's heard and then do your best to make it happen. It's using all your Adamic powers to become a Christian. It's the angel of light.
Masquerade. I can agree that it's an Adamic trying to be Christian.
Yeah. commandments so that I can be pleasing to God. And I can't do it.
But it's
how to pick up the cross.
But it's so simple. Abiding really is massively simple.
Yeah. We talked yesterday, or the day before, whatever it was about. I forget what I was going to say. About God. Today, what we talked about is harden not your heart.
It's in the provocation.
That's a clear. To me, that speaks volumes. Oh, how long will you kick against the prick?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's
pricks.
God, life, Jesus Christ wants to flow out through me, and what I do is resist the temptation, the divine impulse, and harden my heart. As I walk through the day, every individual I come in contact with, my spirit knows. It's obvious. They're either filled up and overflowing like I am, or they're in need. And if they're in need, and I resist and harden my heart, then I stifle the flow. It's just, I mean, what you said about it being so simple, it is that simple. It's just being.
And it's this thing we've talked about a few times. It's the deliberate refusal of joy. And that's really psychotic.
I met a woman yesterday. I'm not even sure what she looked like. I think if I saw her, I would recognize her. She's a staff member over here at the Cancer Center. But I wish I could marry her. She had the one lady that took me in with my mask and all that. She had this spirit about her that was just, it was like Niagara Falls. You couldn't help but be enveloped in it. Just a spirit of giving that was just.
She said, "Come with me, handsome, and here he jumped."
It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. How, you know, always touching you, and I mean, it was just
good.
Unbelievable.
Anybody have any other response to this whole idea of the command? Our only job is to love our neighbor. We exist, and to exist equally for every other person on earth. And the moment we make distinctions, then all of these crap that our mind does comes into being.
Analogies work, have always worked really well for me in understanding some things. And as you know, a lot of you know, I've spent a lot of time underwater diving. And that to me is a really good analogy of what you're saying earlier on, because there's lots of things in the water. They have to, in order to live in the water, they pretty much, to varying degrees, have to succumb to the water to be in its environment. And as a diver, in the physical, we spend all our time wanting to control it, manipulate the circumstances so we can survive. But the ultimate thing is that if you get it all wrong and you drown, the water rushes into you, your life's over. And then the water wins. And actually, that's a really good picture for me in my mind of what's being said here about abiding. Just give up and die. Let it rush in and control.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's it.
The funny part about this, Jesus saying, "I'll make you fishers of men," everybody forgets that the fish died when they got caught. So,
and get eaten.
The whole, it's not, people don't believe in the Trinity, they believe in the quartet. And that's just, if you really, the more you look around, the more you see that. And the successful preachers are the ones that preach the quartet, how you can be successful, how you can get something from God.
You know, it's funny, I went to the bookshop at one of the airports yesterday. And they had this whole section, I forget the exact wording of the label on the section, like you have fiction, this,
But it basically was improving you, how to improve you.
That's fiction.
Which you've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And here is an irony. There was a book on there by T.D. Jakes, and there was another book by that other grinning Cheshire cat, Joel Osteen. But they were side by side with all the yoga freaks, the gurus, the you name it. And isn't that just it? I mean, the world knows you don't even need to file them in separate cases. They're all the same BS.
Right. Anyway, to me, this wrap up is makes the whole mystery of God and living and how we deal with things. It's so easy. You just be. It's God's good pleasure to give us all things freely. And we simply rest in it. Take no weight upon ourselves, not the slightest hint of a weight. Amen? Partakers of the divine nature. All righty, take it, big guy.
Once again.